This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin, talking with Brian Fox Ellis about Bishop Hill's Civil War Day on Saturday, May 9th. Brian, it's good to have you back.
Thrilled to be here.
Now, first of all, how long have you been living in Bishop Hill? You moved out there a few years ago?
Yeah, after more than 20 years in Peoria, my wife and I moved out almost exactly 2 years ago.
Okay.
We run a bed and breakfast, the Twin Flower Inn in Bishop Hill.
Now, this is the first year for this particular event. What was the purpose behind organizing? What's the community trying to do?
Well, in part because this is the anniversary of the end of the Civil War, 150th anniversary of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. We wanted to commemorate that. And Bishop Hill in particular, we have a gorgeous statue, very similar to one in Springdale Cemetery that we helped rebuild recently, that commemorates the Swedish Brigade. We had enough boys from Bishop Hill and Galva and small towns around us that Bishop Hill sent an entire brigade known as the Swedish Brigade that fought in most of the major Western battles, Shiloh and Corinth and Atlanta and with Sherman to the March of the Sea.
Now, in this event, you are playing John Logan once again. This is a character that you've portrayed before at Springdale Cemetery. Now, I'm curious, what is it about this character that you enjoy coming back to?
Yeah. Well, if you go to the GAR Hall in downtown Peoria, the first thing you see when you walk in the door is this huge bust made by a famous Peorian, Fritz Strebel. And General John A. Logan, as another scholar has said, I wish I was so wise, he said, Logan is the most important person from the 19th century who's completely forgotten in this one. He started out as a racist among racists, making it illegal to be a free black man in Illinois, called the Black Laws or the Black Code. And then once he saw slavery in the South, not just an about face, no mere political flip-flop, he became one of the most important and powerful advocates for Negro civil rights, became Frederick Douglass's friend, and wrote legislation for Negro education in the South after the war. That's one of the many stories that really compel me when I'm Logan. He also was Lincoln's nemesis before the war. But then Lincoln called him to the White House several times and gave him very important missions, and many say that when Logan went on a speaking tour, that he almost single-handedly helped Lincoln win re-election in several Western states.
Now, Logan was a general during the Civil War. What did he do after that?
Well, after the war, he returned to his seat in Congress, which he gave up. He actually went to the first Battle of Bull Run as a congressman.
Mm-hmm.
And when the battle erupted, he just marches right in and picks up a rifle and starts rescuing wounded soldiers. And then he quit Congress to fight. And after the war, returned to Congress. He became a senator. He was a real kingpin because he created what is now seen as one of the first political action committees, the GAR, the Civil War Veterans Group, Grand Army of the Republic. And he was their president. And veterans won every office after Lincoln passed. You know, look at all the presidents shortly after the Civil War. Every one of them was a Civil War veteran. And Logan, no doubt, was a kingmaker and helped those elections turn. He later ran for vice president, and most scholars say if he had been at the top of the ticket, they might have won, but they lost against Grover Cleveland. They were building a campaign, him to run for president, when he died. And so he never realized that dream, but a lot of historians would have put him in the White House if he had survived.
Your event as John Logan is early in the morning,
yes,
but you'll be staying in character, as it were, throughout the day. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite things, and you'll see a lot of Civil War characters, not just soldiers, but we have Mother Bickerdike, who is a famous local nurse, who General Sherman said, Mother Bickerdike outranks me. And we'll have Abraham Lincoln and Mary Todd will be there in character all day. And for me, in character, part of it is just hanging with the soldiers and chatting with the boys, but also answering questions for any of the people who come through and having conversations. Because Bishop Hill was built in 1846 and the entire town is a National Historic Landmark, I believe this will be one of the most authentic reenactments you'll ever go to, because when you look around town, you might see a light pole, but the entire town looks as it did in the Civil War era.
Well, it seems to me that part of what you're trying to accomplish with this event is you're trying to recreate sort of a characteristic day of the 1860s for 24 hours in the town of Bishop Hill. Is that a fair characterization?
That's actually a wonderful description that I might use in my press. Thank you, Nathan.
My agent will be in touch.
Yeah, we even have a Civil War era dance in the evening with Civil War era instruments, and some of the dancers will be in period clothing, but everyone's welcome and invited to jump up and kick up your heels. So yeah, it'll be a full day of immersion in history.
You said that you've got reenactors appearing as as President and Mrs. Lincoln. So are they doing a presentation or are they just in character interacting?
Right. If you look at the schedule today, which is available online at the Bishop Hill Heritage Association, BHHA.org, I believe, there is a full schedule of formal programs. And I kick that off at 9 o'clock. And I think Mr. and Mrs. Lincoln are on early afternoon. There's a high tea and those kinds of more formal presentations. But then there's also skirmishes happening throughout the day. And later in the afternoon is a small battle reenactment, not a full-blown war, on the south side of town. There is a Cooper's Park where they're going to set up some cannon and artillery and cavalry, and so you can come out and witness that.
That must be awfully loud for 10:30 in the morning. I mean, I hope no one's choosing that day to sleep in.
Right. Well, and because we have all historic buildings with historic glass, one of the most important things is all the reenactors have been told countless times that you use half powder.
Oh.
Don't use a full load, especially in the cannons, because that antique glass may crack. So it'll be a fun and loud day.
So when you recreate these skirmishes, mm-hmm. these military engagements, mm-hmm. how many reenactors are you working with? What's the scale, I guess?
Yeah, it depends on the battle. I've been to a lot of them the past 5 years with the anniversary. Anywhere from 50 to 100 soldiers. I mean, easily, 30 or 40 on each side. And so, yes, we will have a Confederate encampment as well.
And are you recreating a specific engagement?
Sometimes they do. Like, I know down in Delavan, Illinois, in late May, every year he picks a very specific battle. And the same out in Galesburg. And they have a narrator, almost like, a radio announcer, Howard Cosell, telling the story of the battle as it unfolds for the viewers.
One of the other events that I saw on the calendar that's a little curious, I mean, it may seem a little morbid, but potentially very interesting, is the recreation or the presentation on mid-19th century embalming techniques.
Well, embalming has been going on since King Tut.
Sure.
But it really became a science during the Civil War, because so many of our sons and husbands were dying on the battlefield and buried in mass graves. In order to ship them back in the heat of summer, embalming was necessary. And so a lot of progress was made. And John Austin, who lived in Peoria for a while, I think he grew up here, he does a wonderful job with it. He really knows his science. He was actually the head of the Mortuary Museum in Springfield for a while. I think he helped to create that museum. And so he's presenting that program.
Well, and another thing that struck me just as I was looking over the schedule of events is you have things like the battle reenactments. You've got the presentations from historical figures, but then you also have, the women's tea. You have music and dance. So there's a little bit of something for everybody.
And my favorite part is a lot of the informal, not programmed. When you're just wandering around, talking to the soldiers in their camp, like this one guy who comes out and he sets up a full kitchen and he's making bread and hardtack, and you just come up and chat with him. And if you get there at the right time,
you may have some bread.
You might get some fresh out of the oven bread. So a lot of the informal stuff is really fun too.
Talk a little bit about the day before, Friday, May 8th. That's sort of a preview day, I guess, for school children.
I have great admiration for Todd DeDecker, who put the whole thing together, but he has booked 800 students.
Wow.
And we have set up more than 20 stations, and it's, I believe, on a 15 or 20 minute rotation. So they'll go to a station, and I'll just be a local boy telling the story of the Swedish Brigade, and they'll come to me for 15 minutes, they'll go to the embalmer for 15 minutes, they go to the cook for 15 minutes, they go to tea for 15 minutes, and so for a couple of hours, they rotate through these stations. Many of them are hands-on, so the students get an immersion, kind of experiential history, and hopefully by the end of the day, they've not only learned something, but they've fallen in love with history, and it comes to life for them.
Do they get to fire the cannon?
They will be firing cannons, but I don't know how many junior high students we're going to let handle a fuse.
Well, and I'd also like to talk to you a little bit about the community of Bishop Hill, because I've lived here for quite a few years now, and I don't know a whole lot about it, but it's a small town of 120 people, and the whole town is a historic preservation site?
Yeah. I love New Salem and Colonial Williamsburg, but a lot of those places are recreations. They've done some archaeology, or they moved some buildings around. If you come to Bishop Hill, you are seeing what the Swedes built in 1846. It was built as a Swedish commune, much like the pilgrims at Plymouth Rock and Jamestown. There was this huge wave of Swedes seeking religious freedom, and they came to what was then the Western Wilderness in Bishop Hill, and they carved a town out of that wilderness. And because it's Swedish made, the architecture is amazing. And I've been doing some remodeling on our building. It's all like oak and walnut timber frame. And you walk around town, And it really feels like 1850s pioneer frontier village. But they had huge industry. They shipped tens of thousands of brooms all over the country. They made buggies, brooms, and beer. I love alliteration. They had a huge bakery. They had the largest brick building west of Chicago for a while. One of the only hotels between Chicago and the Mississippi River along the Sauk Trail. And many of those buildings are still there. And the entire town is a registered historic landmark. And many of these buildings house modern businesses that honor traditional craft. So there's a glass blower, a blacksmith, a broom maker, two potters, a quilt store, and you get to often take workshops and do hands-on, or at least pick up some really wonderful souvenirs that you know were made right there. More than souvenirs, you know, keepsakes and family heirlooms.
And these businesses have really become the economy for this town.
Yeah, and Bishop Hill, that's what we have. We don't have a chamber of commerce. It is really the Arts Council that is the economic engine of the town. And the Arts Council organizes a wonderful variety of events. There's a quilt show, a car show, a clay and fiber festival. It seems every other weekend, literally from April to December, there's something going on. And I'm learning Swedish words like Julmarknad, which is a Christmas market, and Jordbruksdagarna, which is the agricultural festival. And in these events, we often have 1,000 people. And because it is a somewhat large spread out area, you know, for a town of 120, we can accommodate 1,000 people. We have 3 restaurants. And for a big event, there's often vendors in the park, and it's just a wonderful place to spend an afternoon or spend a weekend.
We've been talking with Brian Fox Ellis, one of the participants in Bishop Hill's Civil War Day. It's taking place Saturday, May 9th. Brian, thank you so much, and good luck.
Thanks for having me.
The Arts in Education Spring Celebration returns this year. Students from over 100 schools in the area will be performing or having their art displayed in the Peoria County Courthouse Plaza. Events are taking place weekdays between 11:30 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. The celebration continues through May 22nd. Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers. Our producer is Stephanie Sobey. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you go to our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.